We're doing part one right now, and here's what we're talking about. We're getting ready to do part one and part two, and you're not gonna know when it ends. It'll be a cliffhanger like last week. I loved it that we do
Okay, so
play.
we're just
If
rolling 90
yeah.
to 120
So if you're out
somewhere
there
in
and
the
you haven't
field of
joined
flow.
Emery Land, you should join right now because you're gonna miss out on part two.
Yeah, because I'm all the
Yeah.
way
Part two.
back
So how many
now.
you had?
Well, I just had a glass of wine, and I've got another
Yep.
glass of wine and a lime margarita.
Ooh.
It's great. I'm so happy it's November.
Okay, so we won't go into it a long time, but all of October, for those of you who didn't pay attention, like they don't know. The listener, they follow, they listen to every word we say. That's what they live by the words we say. We were doing
And
fasting
die by him.
for
Yep.
a whole month. So every other day we fasted 36-hour fasts, which
15 of them.
seemed in the beginning daunting. And then I think we all agree wasn't as hard. But Matt, you said you're so glad it's November. It seemed like what was fasting harder on you than you thought it would be, or it wasn't
No,
that
it
big
was
of a deal?
way better and easier than I thought it was, but it was like the tone in my voice, you can hear it right now. I am back. It's different.
Yeah.
My mood was lowered all
Yes. Yep.
month. Now, I
All
didn't
month. Yeah.
hate it. So here
Right.
was the insight is like, I know I'm almost getting on my family's nerves today. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because
Yeah.
this is normal. But last month,
Yeah.
that was not normal. I was in a lowered state where I was taking in less.
And they
And it
loved you
was,
more.
I liked it, but it was closer to a lowered state or a depression or what. A bear hibernates. I'm sure he feels low when he does that.
Right.
I was not
Right.
taking as many calories, and my body and
Yeah.
mind made the adjustment from my normal up self down a little bit. And I liked it
Yeah.
because I
Yeah.
was less reactive, less impulsive. And there's a lot of really good things about that, but it ain't as fun. But I got a lot out
It
of it, and I
is that.
really appreciate it. And it wasn't hard. It's not the word for it at all. It was
Right.
not
Yeah.
hard. It was enjoyable. It was boringer, for
It's
sure.
more
Yeah.
boring for sure.
But there's good thing. I'm probably maybe slightly better or more tolerable in that, or have more insight and some. I mean, it's not bad. It's not bad. So I
So
want to find some good
food makes
mix.
you a worse person to be around, you think?
Well, I mean, yeah.
A different
Alcohol too?
person to be
Well, you
around.
know, it was weird too because on the eating days, I would feel lazy about eating and not good. And so I felt
Yeah.
lower then, like, oh, I'm eating. And every time I'd eat on the eating
Right.
days, I'd feel like it was after a Thanksgiving meal, just low. I didn't
Right.
really
Enjoy
overeat.
the eating days
I
because I
didn't
just
enjoy the
thought,
eating days
well,
at
I'm
all.
supposed to be
Yeah. Not as
fasting,
much as
and
normal.
it, you know what I mean?
But
Like,
now
it
I'm
wasn't
eating
like the
2 days
food
in a
was.
row and have a drink and I just feel incredible.
Toby, your mic's low again, I think. Come on up a little bit.
There we go. How
There
about
we go.
that?
Yeah, there
Does
you go. That's
that help?
better.
How nice is that?
That's better.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I would.
that's.
Go
Yeah, go
ahead,
ahead.
Deb.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I felt a little less. I was more low energy. And low energy, I was able to exercise.
And
I'd
by low
walk,
energy,
run, lift.
we don't mean
Yeah. I mean, like
sadder. We
emotionally.
don't mean
A little
sadder.
sadder.
To
A little
me, I was
sadder.
a
I
little.
didn't. Were you?
I
I
wasn't
didn't feel.
sad, but I felt like, oh, I'm just some animal that's alive and trying to find
Yeah,
food
I didn't
sometimes.
feel
That's just
sad. I felt just real, real like calm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it just felt calm or
It
something.
was calm, but that's closer to sad.
It's closer to sad.
I think more accessible to
Not as
sad.
lively, not as lively. But
Did
anyway.
anybody notice y'all's weight loss? Because let's tell the listeners at home. So the way it worked out was, it was me, Matt McDonald, Lunsford, Dave, our drummer, Devin, and Matt. And Devin started at 214, ended at
194.
194, lost 20 pounds.
Yeah.
I started at 217. I ended at 197. So I lost
Nice.
20 pounds. Matt, you
Nice.
started at what, 185? That lost like
186, 16 or something.
186. Well, I mean, I
186.
don't think that's the best way to say it because, like, immediately your last low day is erased almost immediately permanently. So I really feel that I
Well, yeah.
lost functionally probably 12 pounds, but my biggest discrepancy is about 15 point something, you know.
Yeah.
And did you notice physically a difference in your body? Like, slightly. I mean, you're the thinnest one of us all. You didn't notice, like, oh man, my stomach is.
I can notice it more in Lunsford because I see him regularly enough. I was like, yeah, he's got, he's, you know, him and McDonald. I could see it.
What about Dave? Could you tell on Dave?
Not really. I mean, Dave is thin anyway. Thin anyway, but he's, you know, he hit under 170. So,
yeah.
But I mean, that, you know,
yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I hadn't been under 200 in several years. I mean, probably close to a decade for sure. Oh, so it's easy. Like, so for me, that was a big milestone. I hit that 199 and I was like, nice.
Yeah, I know.
That gave me a good boost. And then, you know, we did, me and Dave and Toby ended the thing on a 3-day fast, which was pretty intense, but not terrible. It wasn't that hard. It was just intense.
It really wasn't. I really thought after the 3-day fast, I was like, because I saw
it feels
TikTok.
Really natural.
All of this starts from TikTok.
Right.
I saw somebody go, oh, because you should do 36. Some lady was like, I'm going to do a 36-day fast every other day in October. And I was like, Devin, what if we did this? Hour. And everybody's like, yeah, I could probably do it. But it was so, and then we just did it. But what was I getting ready to say? See, not fast. Oh, well, although Devin and I are actually still fasting today. We're still trying to get there. Oh, I know what I was going to say.
I didn't eat until so. I mean, I'm not. I mean, I'm gonna. I love not eating until supper at least. I mean,
it
I
is
like,
way
I mean,
easier not
it.
To eat than to eat less than like 1,500 calories. If you said, Toby, you can eat nothing or 1,500 calories. I mean, unless somebody nothing's made the 1,500 calories, I didn't have to think about it. That's the only like I think I did understand more. Meal prep and like food delivery. Yeah. Like we used to get Blue Apron. You remember that, Matt, when Bad Christian was sponsored by Blue Apron? It came to my house and I was like, oh, well, that's kind of cool. But I just always thought of it supplementary. But if I really on Sunday made all my meals and said, whatever calorie amount I want, I don't care if it's 3,000, I don't care if it's 300, I think I could really benefit from that because I love the idea of just, I know exactly what to do today.
Yeah,
that's why
the schedule is awesome.
The feast days, you know, we had fast days and feast days. I didn't really know what to do with myself.
I didn't like them.
Try to go eat something. I'm like, should I eat this or what should I should have prepared more for those. But I haven't been under 200 pounds since 2002. So. Yeah. 20 years.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
In 20 years, this is the thinnest I've been in. Wow. And if we were all walking around with our shirts off, people would go, oh man, y'all, he doesn't exercise or work out or fast.
That's not true.
And you say, I promise you. They wouldn't say, oh, he's severely overweight. But I don't look like I'm really in shape. And I was like, damn, a whole month of fasting.
Well, look at just but look, hard. If you put everybody from your high school class in a line, you would be on the one of the ones selected as in shape.
Right.
That's for sure.
That is true. That is very funny. Like the idea
of the
like,
in shape people of the class of 1995 or what was it? Yeah. Is it you 95?
I'm doing pretty good. I mean, and I've only, the biggest I ever got. In the last 20, since those 20 years is probably, I got up to about 235, which is pretty big.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I usually only held that for a few months and I would get back down. My big thing is I always float usually no matter what between 205 and 210 or 205, 215 and to be under 200. Cause like if I even right now, like it was funny yesterday I ate, we're recording this after Halloween, but it was Halloween. I had a few pieces of candy, but I was like, I just didn't care about really going after candy. For whatever reason, it just did not get me. And I just didn't gain any weight, really. And I was like, oh, so I have a feeling tomorrow when I weigh myself, because Devin and I fasted today, I'll probably be maybe 196, maybe 195.
You got
so
the control.
Yeah.
I'm only 10 pounds away, basically, from where Matt started.
Yeah,
isn't
that
crazy? I'm 10 pounds away from where you started the diet, like where you were just normal. You know what I mean? You just did it as a challenge. You weren't really thinking, I got to lose some weight or anything.
But now insane. I'm out of reach yet again because you're not going to get down.
Are you, my friend? What if
you don't want to get down to you don't
what?
If
I don't want to see no 170 Toby.
No,
I don't want to see that. Terrible.
How sad would it be if I get to 168?
That's too much.
Like y'all want, I'll just be like a waif. I'll be float by you. I wouldn't. I mean, it wouldn't be anything.
No, I can definitely tell. Nice. I can tell with my body for sure. You know, not many people said much about it. Like they didn't notice a huge weight loss, but I was like, well, I've lost almost 20 pounds at that point in time. And I think you tell it most of my face and my neck and stuff like that. But like when I would wake up in the morning and stuff, I could notice like my stomach was firmer. It wasn't, I didn't feel as wide. You know, there was definitely some noticeable things that for me that I noticed. And I did work out really hard and I took creatine. I said, started taking it.
Yeah.
And protein. I mean, so I was really trying. And you can't do much in a month, like as far as.
Right.
Looks and appearance, that's not going to be a huge change. So
yeah,
6 months, 1 year, you know, that's a big difference.
That is a big thing I really was thinking. And because we've talked about doing, you know, 69 challenge again. I don't know. I would hesitate to recommend fasting to anybody. Do what you want to do. We just did this kind of as a challenge to ourselves. And just the idea, as soon as you start talking about fasting, everybody gets weird about
it. Yeah, nobody really likes it.
It's almost like the same. I know this is a terrible connection here, but like the same way people get real weird about suicide, they don't want to talk about it. You know what I mean? Like they don't want to talk about fasting either. You know what I mean? Like it's like there's something real bad about not eating. Like
yeah, people think it's real bad. Yeah,
I think I read it about. I told you about my dad, and he just is like, fasting is the worst thing in the whole world. He just told me that. He's like, yeah, no, fasting.
It's similar to sex. As well as like, everybody, you're just not supposed to talk about it or do it at all. And as long as nobody talks about or has sex or does any fasting or whatever, then good.
As if Americans aren't known for eating too much.
We don't want any suicides or fasting. It's like the number one thing America occur.
We're known for like Donald Trump and eating.
Right.
I mean, it's just insane. That was the big thing for me is I was like, wait a minute. This feeling I have of hunger, I call it hunger. Like, oh, no, I need food. That's not what it is. That is not right. That feeling is my body going, oh, my body does want to store fat.
That is a brain thing,
it's brain.
100%.
It's like a computer. It's a computer that remembers where you normally go and what you normally do. And the computer goes, whoa. It
remembers potato chips.
You know what I mean? And then it starts to feel like it's in pain. Yeah, but it's
you know what is similar to in the because I think sex is the other thing. It's like so basic. And so, you know, there's a weird taboos on it is all, but that's fine. It's like, you know, when you're in, especially when you're younger and you just have sex impulses or boners or whatever. Yeah. It's like, it's not about anything. It just, your mind goes boobs.
Right.
Sex.
Yeah.
It's like chips. Grab, eat something. You eat something. Got to get something. Yep. It's like, wait, do I have to say yes to, what is that? Does it mean I need sex today, now? This afternoon? Does it mean that? Just because it popped in my mind?
Yeah.
Like, of course it popped in my mind. It's like, that's what you're built, like, you're built that way. But what does it mean that it crosses your mind? Maybe nothing.
I mean, it really is crazy after doing this and, like, you know, for me and Matt, we do the cold dip and stuff like that. It's like, it's just amazing what you can do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's so easy to just accept what you can't do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, that's just too hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then you just, eventually you can just do.
If you know you're not, it's just about the commitment part of it. And it wouldn't, I mean, if you were going like, I wonder if I can try to maybe not eat for the whole day. Well, you're not going to succeed.
Right.
At that. If you think, I'm going to just see if I can maybe go without eating a little longer by myself and just see. But if I feel weird, I'll just eat. Well, that won't work.
You always are going to feel weird,
But if you and your friends are going to do it, and you know you're not, then you get used to not, then it won't be that hard. And then you go, oh, yeah. And then you get a little insight into how your monkey mind, what arises in your program. That's all. I like the insight part. I'm not even trying to lose weight, really. I'm going to try and gain weight.
I went outside this morning, and I know we've talked about this some, too, but I went outside this morning, and it's been really cold the past couple of days in Illinois. It's just gotten really cold. And so I pulled the temperature thing out of the tub of water, and it said 36.
Yeah.
And I was like, and it was probably 28 outside. And I was like, what am I doing?
Yeah. Wow.
Why? What am I doing? And why am I doing this? And then I just slowly.
But you already knew that you were doing it.
I already knew that I was doing it. So I just slowly started taking the cover off, and I'm like, "What am I doing? Why am I doing this? I could go back inside right now and be totally fine." But I put one leg in, and the next leg in. I was like, "All right, I'm here. Just sit down." And then I just sat down, and then
it has to hurt. That's it. Doesn't it?
It hurts so bad. So bad.
So good.
Can you even breathe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just breathe heavy and then you slow down.
Yeah. And I give Lunsford props. I mean, he's the best. He's probably the best cold dipper I know. I mean, we went to the spa the other night with McDonald and Dave. So, and Lunsford did 9 minutes in the very cold, whatever that was.
That's crazy.
It was low 30s and he did 9 minutes.
That contrast therapy really does help.
Yeah,
like the hot to the cold to the hot. I mean, that really helps too.
But. Yeah, I did 4 minutes relatively easily. You know what I mean? Yeah. But he did 9 minutes.
That's crazy.
I was thinking I might get a tank, but I'm going to put it in this room, my sunroom. Right?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, what if I – because I was like, I don't want to go outside. And I could probably – I could easily put a tank over there in the corner. And this
room
is
mostly –
it's hard to keep
it cold.
How cold would it get?
That's the thing. I would have to get one that's like regulated. I'd probably have to get a whole, you know, like –
that costs a lot.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, it does, but I've seen some on Facebook Marketplace. Like there was one today for $200. I was like, man, it's actual athlete.
Oh, really?
I think it was like an old coach. It was out in Peoria. So I was like, I don't know if I want to drive an hour and a half or whatever.
That's tight.
But what if I got that? Like an actual one that, you know, it looked like the one that Kevin Hart sits in when he does those interviews. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. It was like that. I was like, and it had a machine, and I was like, oh, that'd be very cool.
I want a podcast.
The chiller,
I want to do a 10-minute podcast while you're in it.
Oh, I know.
That'd be awesome.
But, I mean, but that would be the best. Going outside, I don't know. Or
you know, the outside is my favorite
freezer.
Part.
You could do it with just a freezer indoors.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. My favorite part is the outdoors because of the connection to the earth. Like it's the weather. I'm in tune with the weather matters to me.
Yeah.
Right.
Weather matters to me deeply.
What happens is it covered? Like what happens if it's raining? Do you still do it?
Yeah. You can do
it. It doesn't.
Yeah. I guess it doesn't matter. I mean, people don't get in pools when it's raining. You know what I mean? Like they just.
Yeah. Whatever. It's just like if I look at the forecast and it means something to me.
Yeah.
It gets colder through the winter, I start in the fall, and this, like, you know, summer, I don't really, you can't get much out of it. But as it comes to fall, going into the winter, the weather becomes so meaningful. It's the fall. It's like, oh, wow, it's going to be 34 next week. Oh, shit, here. And then you wake up that day and you go, oh, it's today. Oh, we're here today. And then I'm connected to what the conditions are in the world. And I love that feeling. Love it.
I highly
value the outdoor part.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's a thing and it's a fad and all this stuff, but there's something to it for sure. So, you know, it's cool. It's just cool to experience, know that, you know, some people, like some of your buds are experiencing the same thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that does help when there's some camaraderie in it. I guess that's why CrossFit does so well.
Yeah,
too. It's
absolutely.
Just some kind of community camaraderie that really helps when it comes to that challenging stuff.
Yeah.
So, and now Dave's done it, and he made the connection to I knew he would, but he was able to connect it to why he runs. It's like it's similar. It's just overcoming.
That's why when Toby and Dave and, you know, Chris didn't do it before, it wasn't like I was mad because they made a choice about something. It was like, but you didn't get to experience it.
That's true. You'll love it.
It was more like it was more of a bummer because your friend didn't get to. You know what I mean? That was it's sort of that kind of thing, but
yeah. But Dave had, he was like, oh, I totally get, like, you know, him, because he was thinking, oh, it's a spa, it's this luxury, it's socially weird. But that's the thing I like the most about the cold is when you enter it, your concentration is pure, everything else goes away. It's the most clearest thing
you can't
possible, and it's
think about anything else hardly.
It's so good, and you'll love it. You'll get there.
We're rolling right into the pod, so do y'all want to do a little bit of CTA action or what?
Yeah.
Early on, and then we'll read some names later.
We'll do that. Yeah, we'll read the names a little bit later, and we'll do some damn news and
that sounds good.
Some other stuff. So
okay. Well, as you guys know, we got tickets on sale now. We're headed to West Coast, a little bit of the Midwest, Texas, in the first part of December, late November. Oh, actually, yeah. Only December. I was thinking we started November.
It starts December 1st, I think.
Yes. Yeah, so December 1st, Santa Ana, California, the observatory. We're playing with Haste the Day and the Almost. Oh, yeah, the whole tour is Almost, and these shows are Haste the Day as well. So that's going to be awesome. San Diego at House of Blues with Haste the Day and the Almost as well. Then we're doing Las Vegas. Maybe.
Right now, we're having a couple issues with two shows. One is Las Vegas. We're trying to get to Las Vegas because you know.
Hopefully, by the time this is
maybe
announced,
resolved
it'll be
by the time
out.
This comes out.
Santa Fe, New Mexico, Roswell, New Mexico, which I'm excited about. I know it's a small town, but that'll be kind of interesting. San Antonio, possibly.
It might be Houston or Austin.
Austin, there's somewhere in Texas, and then Dallas, Tulsa, and Kansas City.
Yeah,
most of those tickets are on sale right now at emerymusic.com. We got pre-show tickets that are available, full band acoustic performance with us, and Aaron's going to play with us. We're going to do some back and forth stuff.
So that's the songs. That's doing
Songs and Stories. Yeah.
Yeah. That's basically a Songs and Stories experience and full band. And it's going to be Gillespie and us together. And that should be good. And if you buy tickets to that, you get two guest passes for friends and family members that you've been evangelizing about Emory. Like, you got to check it out. You got to check it out. You can bring old people. Cool. You can bring kids. And you just show up. And if you want to send them home, fine. If they want to stay for the show, you got to get their ticket for that. Yep. But just by buying your one ticket, you get two free guests for that acoustic show. It's family friendly, old people, everything. So maybe no mosh.
That's amazing.
That's a great, it's going to be a great experience. It's already selling well, too. We got the report that's been
successful.
So
you get up to two people, you know, take pictures, early show, get access to merch.
Hell yeah.
Final show will be our In Shallow Seas We Sail live special. So that's going to be cool because it's
global
been a long time.
Streaming event.
Global streaming event. Tickets will be available very, very soon.
That's a Black Friday when the tickets go, because, I mean, it's on the poster, but they're not available now. You cannot get a ticket.
Not yet.
But by the time Black Friday rolls around, there'll be lots of – you can buy a ticket or you can qualify for a ticket. Let's say you're Emeryland member, or maybe you participate
Emeryland,
in our Black Friday sale, or maybe you buy a ticket to the stream. All those will get you access to this global event, because we're sorry we couldn't literally come to every city within Shallow Seas We Sail. The year's coming to a close, so we wanted to do this for everybody that can't make it to, or we couldn't make it to them for the In Shallow Seas We Sail celebration we're doing all this year.
So be on the lookout for tickets. If you join Emeryland, you'll get one. You'll get it early. Mm-hmm. You'll get to see everything before anybody else, because Emeryland are special. We love them more than we love you. Yeah. We love Emeryland more than we love
you. As soon as you join Emeryland, you will be loved.
Yeah, as soon as you join.
One of the easiest ways to become loved.
Yeah. Oh, so easy.
And if you join, the other thing that I don't think people realize, what we've been talking about earlier, is we are going to have to start paying for a lot more food. For all of October, we only ate half. So now my
whole food budget
is doubling just for myself. So please join Emeryland, because I need protein.
Yep. Okay, so a couple more things real quick. So if you do join Emeryland, you do get that Shallow Seas early. You get live vinyl. That's been on sale for a while, so a bunch of Emeryland people have that. We just put out a bunch of demos some months ago that we're creating for the next album phase. You'll get the new tracks as soon as they're done, months before the public. Instant access to Part Due, which we're going to do here shortly, and cut you off if you're not in it.
Yeah.
We're going to cut you off.
Okay? I don't want to
apologize, but we're going to cut you off. You get 20% off everything at emerymusic.com, Songs and Stories tickets, custom songs. And those are some limited time on those. So, and then Marriage Supply, you can get dildos, cock rings,
vibrators,
anything you can think of in the intimate area of your life. Marriage Supply.
We can cut this out, Devin, if you don't want me to say it. But the other day, Devin and I went and saw a movie together or whatever. And he was like, "Hey, you think you got any cock rings I can have? Those are good." And I was
"They were good. Megan likes them."
I got you, my friend.
So, but you know what's funny about that is they both have little, you know, they both vibrate a little bit.
Yeah.
Neither one of them worked.
No way. Don't say that. Cut that.
Sorry.
No. I send replacements if a product doesn't work. Hey, that one might have been my fault. That might have been my fault. I thought, but it slipped out of my hand and I actually stepped on it before I gave it to you. And I was like, it'll be fine. I'm not going back in and getting another.
Oh, you might have actually broke it.
So that potentially could have been my fault.
It's okay. It's all right.
Okay, I'll get you another one. But
it worked
out
in my favor regardless. So
Bear Supply. And also, I was going to say, you know, my other podcast, Sex 101, is really good. This is a good time. We'll continue with the CTA here in a second. Because people love it when we sell them stuff. You know what I mean?
Oh, they love it.
They love it when we give them stuff, sell them stuff, have stuff, merch, and all that stuff. But my other podcast is called Sex 101. And Stormy and I take listener questions. So I thought I'd give y'all two a listener question.
Okay.
Promote my podcast and also Marriage Supply and all that stuff. So this is two listener questions. And I thought, obviously, go to Sex 101 and listen to Stormy and my answer, because it's going to be better than what y'all say. Mm-hmm. Just because Stormy researches and does. It's just so good. The way she is just so great. The way she answers, just so much information. But here's the first listener question. I'm only going to give you two. About once or twice a year, I have a dream where I have sex with another man. I guess I would say I enjoy it even, but was wondering if it had any meaning about my sexuality. Like, could I be gay or bisexual? Have y'all ever had dreams where you had sex with another man? Like, same sex?
I've had dreams where it morphed. Like,
I've had the morph.
Me too.
Gender morphed. Yep. You know, that's definitely happened.
Yeah, the people morphed.
And it,
sometimes.
Maybe it was weird or something in the dream, or when I woke up, and then I was like, oh, that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It just doesn't matter. That's the way I felt about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Personally.
But, yes.
I'm not saying the same for them, but.
But this guy might matter to him. He's like, huh, I wonder if maybe I do have those feelings. I definitely have had dreams where, it was always like I met somebody and then I'm having sex with them. And then I'm like, oh no, I can't stop. And this is a guy now.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like it just turns into a guy. And I'm like, oh, that's so interesting.
That's the morph.
Yeah.
That's the morph.
Matt, what do you say?
I've had a long held belief that I feel relatively vindicated by some of the social movements. For instance, I've always thought we should not have separate bathrooms for men and women. Yeah. And now we have it, but it's not because I'm the most progressive, but I have a similar, it's just common sense to me on some other level that it's weird why you have the multiple bathrooms, like for black people and men and women. It's like, can't we just use one? I never really understood it, but similarly, I feel that I think it's been way overdone that you have a fixed sexuality that is assigned at birth because of some genes or something that you then maybe had to spend your whole life trying to decode. That's a little bit weird. Mm-hmm. I'm a little bit more of, if you could just kind of do whatever you want to whenever you want to, it kind of is a logical way to look at it. And you don't have to find out what your predetermined identity ever. Now, I know they made a lot of ground in for the civil rights and everything by having the, you know, born that way. Like, I was born this way, so now I get, you know, like, I understand that helped people gain some ground. But it's almost, to me, seemed like a mistake, because you shouldn't have to even do that. You should just be able to do what you want now and later. Yeah. Is a more progressive view that seems more natural to me. So I don't know that there's a fixed anything that you can find out about yourself.
Fair.
You just do whatever. I'm not saying everything everybody ever does is good or bad or whatever. I'm just saying, I don't know if there's an answer to if you're gay or not. I don't even think that's a very good way to look at it. You can be into different things at different times for different reasons, can't you? You don't have to discover whether or not there's a fact about you somewhere written down about
people
don't agree.
Long to be a part of a group or something like that. Like
it helps. They were able to make some ground by saying I was born this way, so I shouldn't be denied X if I'm born this way.
I'm saying on the other side though, like when I was growing up, like people would call you gay. Or, you know what I mean? So anybody that was gay, some of my friends in high school that were gay didn't say a word because they were scared of being outed or hurt, or you know, so So you want to stay a part of the group. So the group collective makes you go, you know, and now it,
right. The identity and labels are just, I think less identity and labels is a better thing. So now we're in a time where at least there's fluidity, but nonetheless, why the over desire to attach and affix and identify with any label? That's my position. Right. It's like just you, for whatever reason, you decide to do whatever you feel like do. I mean, am I a faster or an eater or a, what am I? Right. I just do what I do the things that make sense to me at any given time. I don't have a fixed preference about anything in some way that's written in stone somewhere that I can't see it or know about it, but it's apparently true about me and somebody else knows it or only God knows it or my DNA knows it. But I don't know it. I don't really think that makes sense.
But being in the middle, I guess people just don't like it. They feel like they need something hard to say, like a hard
identity.
Fact.
Right. You for example, I know I'm a Republican. I know I'm a Calvinist. Yeah. I have an identity, and this is it. And it doesn't change. Like, that feels good. But do you really need to do that?
I was thinking about it the other day, like how hard it was a thing to say for people to be anti-vax. Right, like anti-vax, like
depends on the vax,
but
depends on the disease.
But you know what I mean, like which is really crazy too, because less than a year before that, so many people were saying, "Oh yeah, you know, it causes autism." Vaccines, they were all against it, and then all of a sudden, if you were like, "I don't know about this vaccine, I just don't know if I want it," or you would be labeled if you were in the middle, like for me personally, older folks, people that were obese, I think you should definitely take it. But a 7-year-old kid, I didn't think a 7-year-old kid needed it. a healthy child or something like that. It didn't seem to me from the data I was being given. So I wasn't anti-vax, but I'm pro-choice. I am pro-choice.
It's
I'm
just
literally
kind of a flexibility. Imagine it's like there's this girl and you just super really really bad wanted to have sex with her and she wants to have sex with you and you go, damn it, but I'm gay. That doesn't make sense, does it?
No, but I don't know if people say that or not.
Do you know what I mean? Well, I mean, I'm just saying, you have a dream that to this particular question, you don't have to be, it don't have to be anything. You just had that dream.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Let's
you're
leave it at that.
The labeling it is where, like,
not necessary.
It could be what it could be.
Right.
Okay.
If there's no socio-cultural normative reason why you must declare, it'd be nicer if you didn't have to declare. In my opinion.
But just so you know, I'm straight.
I'm straight.
Okay.
Straight.
I don't know
totally,
what I am.
Totally straight.
All right. How about this one? I thought y'all could answer this one. I think it would be sexy for my partner and I to shave each other's genitals.
Yeah,
how should
fun. I
ask
like
and what do I need to know?
That's so Matt's kind of
Stormy
that's
gave
Matt's
a great answer,
right there.
But would y'all that want to good. Shave? Your SO, your significant others, I personally would be very scared. Like if you just made a hair mistake, literally, or something, you know what I mean? Just if you were just off a little bit and cut something by accident, even just a little, it would be, you know what I mean? Or I don't know. What do y'all think?
I like the you know, clarity of the desire there, like that's neat to know. I would want to do it. It's fun.
If you were asked, would you do it or would you decline?
I mean, when asked, I tend to say yes to things. And
to even you being shaved.
I mean, I typically, you know.
You'd be like, hell yeah, let's just give it a shot.
I mean, bizarre experience.
In blood 20 minutes later.
I don't know. I mean, it's not something I necessarily would pursue, but if it was an incoming request, I would consider.
I'd be down there with an apron on. I get my stuff off. You did sharpening like, my scissors.
With the leather. You had the leather thing sharpening a straight razor.
Get down there, get up on it, holding it up.
Got aftershave.
I mean, I like an open mindedness, you know. I don't know.
So y'all would let your partner shave you.
It'd be hard to just laugh the whole time.
Yeah,
or something.
Sounds like one of those funny things.
Which I guess is cool. It would just be funny.
That, I think that's the point I was thinking too. if the idea of it might be sexy, I wonder implementation of it, is it actually sexy? You know what I mean? Is right. it actually sexy once you start, you know what I mean? And then, you know, you leave it ingrowing hair, it gets infected, all this shit starts happening. It can be
you blame the other person.
Yeah, it leads to
it's high liability, yeah. yeah.
It was, one of the, it was one of
it's
the
like
main reasons
it's
my
It's kind
divorce.
Of like a sexual
so
trust
watch
fall.
Watch out about shaving.
it's like the sexual trust fall.
Right. You know? Yes, it is totally. 100%. So
It's a team building exercise.
Yeah. Okay, so those are two listener questions from Sex 101. You can listen to us. We put out an episode every week. Sometimes we put it out in this feed. We might do that in the future as well. So, all right, you can get back to the CTA if you want.
Yeah, we're almost done. We still got a vinyl giveaway, mystery sale going on, added new merch to the site, rub some dirt on it, saw blade. We got a few more of those. Mm-hmm. If you buy one of the newer tour merch items, you can add a vinyl for free. The discount is automatic at the checkout. Mm-hmm. Plus, mystery sale, you can purchase mystery items, including a bundle. It gets you like three vinyl. I don't know. That's a lot. Signed CD and a shirt for like $30. Yeah. That's like flea market prices right there. EmoryMusic.com for all your needs. And then we'll read the names later, correct?
Yep. We'll read the names here soon. We'll read them in just a little bit because, we're going to move on to part two.
Yep.
But very good, Devin. Very good reading. All right. You want to move on to some damn news? We haven't done news in a long time. So I will say I've been collecting news for quite a while. So some of these stories
Nothing has happened in the news in, it feels like, months.
I know.
Years, maybe.
It's about to, though. Yeah, no. It's nothing. The calm before the storm. Nothing.
No current events.
I will say I do have one high thought that I wanted to ask y'all about. I was really thinking about it the other day. I didn't realize. I was in the shower, and I did start thinking about it. Do you guys, when you shower, do y'all use bar soap or
a squirt
a pump?
Thing.
And do you use like a fluffy thing that you squirt the soap into? Matt, you don't with bar
I'm
soap
very
or
light.
If you don't have a so with a bar soap, do you soap up your hands and then wash your hands with that, or do you
rub the soap directly
and wash your body?
I've done both, but I
what
don't,
do y'all do?
I think rubbing the bar of soap directly
I've
on your body.
I've only ever used the bar.
I think that's a very childish way of shower. I think that's more of a child way, is my guess on this. Like when you first start showering,
what?
You take the bar of soap and apply it directly to the body. I think the more, you know, the lather is the more adult way. I'm not judging.
The lather seems like is the thing that cleans you too, right? The bubbles and the lather is what actually cleans you, but I have never done that. I had never even thought to rub the soap in my hand, set the soap down, and then wash my underarms.
Well, these are the areas where you don't get a lot of guidance. That and how you wipe your butt is like, it's pretty, you're pretty much on your own.
Well, you just figure out.
People discover things at different.
Yeah. I like to use a loofah or something like that because I have the scrub ability.
Right.
I mean, like I feel the scrub with something that's a little bit more coarse. So that's what I like about it. It just kind of rubs off some of that extra.
I used to use it.
I'm relatively anti soap.
Yeah, I know.
So, okay. Glad y'all cleared that up. I never even thought of it until the other day. I was like, wait a minute. You could rub your hands together and then just use that to clean yourself. But I don't know. Then my hands are all over me and I'm in the shower. I might get turned on or something. I don't know. You know what I mean? If your hands are real soapy and you start moving to certain areas, you're like, well, I'm here.
Sounds very childish and repressed to me.
You know what I mean? I'm lathered.
That's like a 9-year-old.
What happens when you're completely naked and lathered? You're like, this could go one of two ways.
Lather's sinful.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Let's get to some damn news. And remember, we'll come back. Let's see, where are we at? Okay, we'll do a couple of newses and then we'll read the names and then we're going to cut it off because we got to go to part two. You're going to miss out on the other damn newses that are going to be really good. I'm saving I have some, they're all good. I'm saving some zingers for the next for part two.
Okay.
All right. So y'all want a serious one or more lighthearted or more serious?
Well, we don't want to, let's just get the serious out of the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go ahead with that.
Okay. Well then, this comes from Christianity Today, my friends. International House of Prayer founder Mike Bickle accused of sexual abuse. And I can remember this forever. Everybody's always talking about IHOP. Yep. You know, not the pancake place. This is prayer, man. And they have prayer 24/7. And there's people in there going, you know. Mike Bickle, the founder of International House of Prayer, has been facing allegations. Bickle, 68, has been accused of sexual misconduct where the, in quotes, where the marriage covenant was not honored. According to a statement released Saturday from a group of former IHOP KC leaders who investigated the claims, they said, though they were initially shocked, they found the allegations credible based on the collective and corroborating testimony of several victims. Bickle's charismatic megachurch, which has offered round-the-clock prayer and worship since its founding in 1999, was informed of the allegations on Friday, according to the Kansas City Star, which obtained a recording of the announcement. Stuart Greaves, executive director at IHOP KC, told staff that the leadership team is taking the situation very seriously. The leaders who released the statement, former executive leadership team board Dwayne Roberts, Brian Kim, along with former forerunner Christian Fellowship Wes Martin, said they first attempted to bring the allegations directly to Bickle, as the Bible instructs in Matthew 18. They said Bickle refused to meet with them and then tried to intimidate and discredit the victims. Kansas City Star reported that Bickle preached on false allegations last Sunday. I guess maybe he's trying to get out ahead of it. In the sermon, he discussed how, per Revelation 12:10, Satan's most effective weapon is the end times. In the end times is accusation. Wow. And he turns in quotes and says, whispered innuendos into hostile accusations that destroy lives and relationships. Bickle also said that the church is approaching the most glorious and challenging hour in history, with the dragon, black horse, breathing on many to accuse and betray each other. And it goes on to say this, but I mean, can you believe? I mean, he even preached a sermon trying to get out ahead.
He knows
of this.
What he's doing.
Oh yeah,
I mean, it's just feels so evil.
Yeah,
I mean, it's. I mean, first of all, he did something really evil and awful. And then this manipulation and trying to get people on your side and
and it works.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
It'll serve its purpose. He will.
But that's like, how you know
it's a damage
really
control.
Wrong,
and it will work.
It will work.
He will be basically okay in the.
Well, I mean, if it was non-consensual, like I don't know. Right now, these are allegations. We should say that, I guess. But I mean, he could be proven innocent. I don't know. But if no matter what the case, it seems as if a pastor would get up and say, there's some of my flock accusing me of something, and I want to face this with honor and dignity and truth, there's some bad people talking about me.
But I mean, if you're in a position of damage, you will try to mitigate the damage, and that temptation is very high and all basically irresistible.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh yeah.
Right? Like if you have a lot of something, power, money, whatever, and then something threatens it, even your own mistake, your position is often still to mitigate damage.
Yeah.
Now you might call that call that evil, but the temptation to mitigate damage you perceive happening to you is pretty irresistible temptation. Not saying it's not evil. It is. But what temptation is harder to resist than mitigating damage to yourself?
Yeah.
So that's what's scary about when you get in a position of power is you will do anything to keep it.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, don't want to lose your power. Do care more.
Like even if you're sorry, the temptation is still to minimize the damage to you yourself. Yeah. Like, you know, from your point of view, minimizing the damage seems key, even if you've made mistakes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
So that's what you'd expect to see.
I mean, it just feels really creepy when you really do see that just leaders are, there's so much going on behind the scenes, and they are, I mean, you know, we've seen it firsthand. You know what I mean? Like, the one of the most shocking things to me is how many pastors protected Mark Driscoll and didn't really do anything. And now he's just growing now he's just like some kind of it, when I read his tweets or whatever, I should never go, even go there, because I'm like, this feels like just a creepy wannabe political figure. Like, it's just, it is just about the power to me when I read it, and I might be wrong, but it just feels awful. Like he just is trying to incite people. It's like a Ben Shapiro move.
It's very divisional. Yeah. Yeah. Divisive. You know, I saw a Facebook thing about him on just some random group today, and people, it was somebody making fun of him, and just an insane amount of people defending him in a way that it was like everybody very far removed from it. It wasn't anybody related to anybody that knew anything. It was just, I was just observing a discourse in the general public about him. And there was people saying there's real problems with this guy, and is this and this and whatever. And the people that weren't wanting to hear it, in no way are you able to articulate. Like, they're just like, I don't see anything. There's no evidence of anything. And it's like, okay, well, then there's nothing. It's like, well, there's this whole podcast. There's this whole thing. And all the people there said all this stuff. But everybody's like, what? Show me. Prove it.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, if you're in that mindset of, oh, really? Well, I think he's good. So show me. Prove it. Oh, that? Yeah. That's nothing. That could be this. That could be that. Like, that mindset is so pervasive that, you can see that when people have a predetermined vibe. I mean? There's so many people that don't want this to be true that all you have to do is give them a crumb and they'll know it's not actually true about this guy. And that will work.
Right.
Well, here's the frustrating thing. I wanted to be a churchgoer and experience fellowship and teaching and take the sacraments and really be involved. And the church system and the people within it make me really uninterested and not trust it. I mean, I worked at a mega church where we told the pastor, I'm not gossiping. We went to the pastor of Seacoast Church and said, hey, Mark Driscoll, we were both there. Matt wrote a long letter and they just did nothing. They did nothing. And that was the leadership of another mega church that didn't do anything. And in fact, the quietness of that felt like really strong support for Mark Driscoll, who I think really is just a shyster. He's like he really is just like a political, wanted to try to get attention, saying one-liner zingers. And he's still doing the thing where how shitty men are. You got to get married. You got to be a man. But he wasn't a man. He was weak. He was sinful. He didn't repent. So what the hell are you telling me about my life? Like, work on your house first. Like, I was so disappointed in how many people supported Mark Driscoll in high up leadership. And that wasn't one of the reasons why Bad Christian ended. But the church I worked at, the church that Joey still works at, supports Mark Driscoll. That's not that's not me saying anything that isn't true. You know what I mean?
Because,
question. They didn't say, hey, let's do some work here. This was a huge church that really mattered, maybe. Like, it was. I worked there and I thought it did matter. I really was. And I'm the person that's the voice. Like, that's what I don't understand. Why am I the person going, hey, you should watch out for this guy? Me? I know I'm full of shit. I know I'm wrong. Why was mine and Matt's voice? And everybody else is like, well, but that was in Seattle and they had to handle their stuff. No, either we're all one church or we aren't. And it really bothered me. And I would like to go back to church again. I'd like to be a part of it. I miss a lot of it. I'm not anti-church at all. What I am is pro-truth, pro-choice.
No, well, it's easy for guys like Mark Driscoll to succeed in moving on because all they ever have to – like, if he didn't, like, sexually assault somebody necessarily, or some of the things that a lot of pastors, deal with, but his verbal abuse is easy for him to say, they just didn't like what I was saying.
Yeah, that's easy.
You know what I mean? That's easy to persuade somebody. Well, we just disagreed about our philosophy he didn't think of demeaning people in the same way. Like, he didn't think of it the same way as you do. He just thought, this is a necessary thing. You know, I'm not saying he was oblivious to being wrong necessarily, but I'm saying
he's saying the same thing as this guy here. People are trying, the dragon's going to come and try to separate us. And
so much of that.
False accusations.
You just control the narrative. He just controls
everybody
else.
It's fully in the territory of propaganda.
They're no better than Donald Trump to me.
Yeah, that's just politics and propaganda. But I was thinking today, I was thinking about this. Odd that you brought it up, but I was thinking that these things often start as a movement and end up as something goes. It's like a life cycle, and sometimes they seem to be very fast and exaggerated, but yeah. Something starts as a movement with a point, and then it kind of becomes perverted and twisted and the opposite of what it started out to be, as in things wind up being the opposite of what they seem. So things aren't what they mm-hmm. seem. If that saying holds any right. weight in your awareness, it's not as it seems. It's not as it seems. So,
right.
You know, it's something that is good. Like Mars Hill was good. I'm telling you it was good until it was not. But the way those things happen is they become the opposite of what they start out to be over time. Right. I think our U.S. government is similar. It's like it's the thing where it's democracy and right. it's this. And then eventually it's not the thing that it makes itself on. Becomes hollowed out, and then it becomes hijacked, right. and then it is no longer that exact thing. But it never stops being proclaiming it is the thing it started out to be. And right, I think yeah. Mark was just got perverted and twisted until it became all about him. And it, you know, as an individual who hijacked an organization that was about a movement, and then it became about right. a person who got it. And the special interest right. eventually takes over the thing, and then it says it's this. It's like a it turns into a cult. I mean. That's not about the thing it says it's about. It has to pervert its own mission to survive in the end. That's the life right. cycle that I observe, even all the way down. Like, think about a death cult where people commit suicide. Those things are about life. This how to yeah. live. It's life. This is, we're going to get life. We're going to go to the alien spaceship. All we got to do is die. It's yeah. about life. And it becomes death. You know,
yeah.
it's how you die. You know,
right.
It just sucks that, like, it's just so full of shit. Like his reason, like he talked so explicitly and clearly about each campus and how they were growing, and he knew the pastor here, he did this, and then when he gets in trouble, he goes, oh, you know what, honestly, I didn't know a lot that was going on all the different campuses. I didn't really know those people. And I'm like, what are you talking? You're lying. You didn't say this before. Now you're just saying this to save your own, make you look good and make other Christians look bad. Like, the truth right. is the truth. Like, for sure, some of the stuff that Mark Driscoll said is true. And he's right, and I can go there. But a lot of the stuff he said was also bullshit. And
it becomes warped into self-serving, and then right. whoever follows that, and then that's yeah. a circular little thing. But
well, I know.
Function. I mean, that's I what politics. It's yeah. just politics and the way
yeah,
of
that's all it is.
Things. Okay, that's the all serious right. one.
All right, I'm going to give just a cliffhanger, because we're going to say the names, and we got to move on to part two. But I thought coming up in a few of them. I wanted to talk about Kat Von D becoming a Christian. You know,
I like
her.
It.
I heard about
it. I want
that.
To talk about a woman and her husband won the lottery and what bad stuff happened to them.
I
after.
Love it.
And then a 69-year-old skydiver plunges to his death in a Florida front yard.
Can't say I like it, but I like 69.
Yep. All right, let's read them names.
You heard that. Imagine if you're like, what's that noise? Sounds like an old man.
All right, I gotta read the names and what they send in this week.
Oh, okay. This week they sent in their favorite, like, cringe dad joke.
Okay New member number one, Christopher Richards
sent in, I bought some shoes from a drug dealer. I don't know what he laced them with, but I was tripping all day.
Good. Lindsay Smith.
Does anyone need an ark? I know a guy.
That's a good one.
Yep.
Matthew Williams.
Okay, see if y'all can get this one. What do you get when you cross a snowman with a vampire? Y'all got to get this one.
Snowman with a vampire?
Yeah.
I guess I don't.
Frostbite.
Frostbite?
Good. No.
Oh, sorry. What? Joseph Meadows. Joseph Meadows.
What do you call a can opener that doesn't work?
Can't opener?
Come on. What?
Can't opener?
A can't opener.
Yeah, that's what he said. Can't opener.
Yeah.
Douglas Limbo.
Well, what did the janitor say when he jumped out of the closet? supplies.
Oh, I've heard that one. Yeah.
Was that all of them? I got one more. Okay. This one's for me. What did the buffalo say when his son left? Bye, son.
Bye, son.
All right, we're headed to part two right now. You better join.
Join
Emeryland because you're missing out. There's
more dad jokes.
There's more.
No, it's Kat Von D time.